good morning, and it's so good to be here.
Good morning.
Good morning.
It's almost, you know, I had put this talk together, and then later I saw that the Daily Word kind of wove in beautifully. This song, Weaves, Spirit is so good. I just love that. Well, I don't know about you, but the last few weeks have been intense. Anybody else kind of feeling that? It's just several reasons. One is I've been a little busier than usual, and I guess I just don't have the old bounce back that I used to when I was younger. But anyway, a little bit busier, which is a good thing, but you know, it keeps me busy. The political arena is just intense and exhausting. You know, no matter which side of the fence you're on, it's one side calling the other one, blah, 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 blah. You know what, everybody's just all the smear stuff and then lots going on. So that's all kind of exhausting, actually. And then on a more positive note, but still the intensity, the Olympics. I am loving the Olympics. I had the benefit of, or pleasure, I guess, of being at home on the Friday when the opening ceremony started. I thought it was just spectacular. It was awesome in the truest sense of the word. There were all kinds of performances. You know, I'm not a heavy metal person, so I didn't really appreciate the heavy metal, but it's okay. Some people do, you know. It still was impressive. The guy that ran along the roof line, you know, through the whole thing, that was impressive. It was just mind-blowing. And so I try to watch whenever I can, so it's just sort of adding to that whole, you know, kind of... I could tell that I was sort of flagging a little, and so I needed some sort of inspiration to do a talk. You know, what can I get up and talk to you guys about? So I have this little book that I bought. It's called Resonance. Reverend Doug Duer is a colleague and friend, and he wrote it. It's kind of like just an inspirational, like a devotional book. It's got writings on one side and pictures on the other. His husband did the pictures and the putting together of the design and so forth on the book. But I use this book as sometimes just, you know, what is it gonna show me today? So I did that, and I just opened it randomly. This isn't a book you open and read page after page. You just, you know, pick up where you want. So I opened it, and this is the page I got. The title was Grow in Love. The song we just heard, Always Live. Grow in Love. And the first sentence is what really hooked me. It said, every time a self-doubting or fearful thought enters our mind, it creates a stumbling block to a higher purpose. Well, through all of this busyness and the politics, and I have to admit that there have been self-doubt moments and fearful thoughts at times. And so okay, I guess this is talking to me. I need to be answering my own deal here. What I do sometimes, and maybe you do too, when things are beginning to kind of point, but the fearful thing I think makes me go there. When I get to a place where I see something that I don't want to happen, I'll go to a place of fear, and it's like a resistance, like that can't happen, I can't have that, you know, that is. And when we're holding on to the resistance, of course nothing is going to get through that is positive. So it brings up the question for me, how can we learn to avoid those self-doubting and fearful thoughts? How can we begin to live from a place of inner peace and love? What I realized is that there is wisdom that we can use to do that. And this is wisdom through the ages. This truth has been there for a long time. There was a Facebook quote, you know, like whenever you put something out to the universe, you begin to get things in return. Well, one of them that I got in return was I saw on Facebook a quote, and it said, "Peace is not when everyone agrees. It is when we can respect our disagreements and still play in the same sandbox together." And I like that a lot. So going back to resonance, we need to find a better way of doing this here. Okay, so going on a little further from that first sentence that I got hooked by, every time a self-doubting or fearful thought enters our mind, it creates a stumbling block to a higher purpose. Realize what has happened and replace it with a focus on the highest good we seek in humanity. Perhaps call them divine attributes: compassion, courage, integrity, humility, gratitude, generosity, forgiveness, empathy, and love, to name a few. Now, this isn't a new idea. You know, unity has as one of its five basic principles what we call the law of mind action. So when he says replace it with a focus on the highest good, what is he saying? Changing our thinking. Change your thinking. So instead of where I get fearful, oh, what if this is going to happen? Oh, I can't let this. Instead of that, change your focus to these. Focus on what we seek in humanity, the good that we seek in humanity. Huh? Okay. He does say, when we replace fearful thoughts with divine attributes, there is no room for anything but forward motion. Which is encouraging. That's what we want. Another thing that I can find it here. There it is. I got this card in the mail sometime back, several months ago. Have you heard of Truth? Let's see. Make sure I say it. Truthunity.net. Yeah. Most of you have. It's Mark Hicks is the gentleman who put all that together. It's a great archives kind of thing. I kept this card because it's from the front is Prosperity's 10 Affirmations, and it's from Georgiana Tree West, who was a minister. She wrote a book called Prosperity's 10 Commandments. But that's not what I wanted to talk to you about. What I wanted to talk to you about is what he wrote to me and everybody else on the distribution list. But he said, "Hi, friends. Here is what Richard Billings once wrote about the woman who introduced him to unity when Richard lived in New York City." I have to tell you, I had the good fortune to meet Richard Billings. He's one of those greats in unity history. You know, he's an amazing man. I accidentally met him. It was in the Fillmore Chapel, and I was sitting in the back, and there was a gentleman back there. I later learned that was Richard Billings. But the thing I noticed about him right away was he was just so gentle, big man, you know, but very gentle, very welcoming. You know, he made me feel very comfortable to be sitting there, and he just, you know how some people just exude a great energy? He did. So I was in, when he said Richard Billings, kind of, let's see what he says. So this is what Richard Billings had written. "I attended services in the New York City, in New York City, where Georgiana Tree West was minister. She was known for her counsel on concepts of prosperity, along with her longtime friend Richard Lynch. Georgiana helped one understand what an awesome universe we live in. And then her spiritual insight gave her skills to bring into full expression the Jesus Christ principles. In a counseling session with Georgiana, I poured out my heart. She asked, "Is this what you really want?" She leaned forward in her chair. "Let us talk about what you want to experience." You see what she did there? See, rather than focusing on all of the pouring out, all of the things, you know, that we get caught up in life, she said, "Let us talk about what you want to experience." Same thing as what I'm hearing. Change that thinking just a little bit. One of the reasons that I was busier than usual was that I had an opportunity to facilitate a Unity class, overview of Hebrew scriptures. And Hebrew scriptures are it's the Old Testament. The materials for this class were wonderful. I was able to learn more at a deeper level than I had in all these years of school plus, you know, it was very, very good. The people I was with were outstanding. We kind of bounced ideas off and shared. It was, you know, how there are classes that click, and it was great. So anyway, so we did this Hebrew scriptures thing. And one thing that I took away from the whole thing was noticing that there have been and are patterns that keep repeating in life, and they're still happening. So that through the ages thing, you know, if we can look at patterns, if we can tell, oh, I think I've done this before, or something like that, we can stop and go, is that what I want to experience? So my Bible teacher, Laura Barrett Bennett, she was delightful when she would teach, but what she would talk about this cycle that happened all the time, that people would begin to get unhappy, and she said, and they would begin to murmur, you know what, murmur, and then they would misbehave, they would do what was not righteous, you know, and then God would get angry and punish them by, you know, some country conquering them, and then they would, you know, then they would be remorseful and cry out to Him, "Oh, we're so sorry. We will put you first in our thoughts, like the laws say we're supposed to." And then He relents and He sends a person or a leader, or a prophet, or a king, or something, you know, to help the people, and they can move forward until they stop and they start misbehaving again and get off of the path and the whole thing. So it repeats all the way through the Old Testament, and I think, you know, I think I still see it today. In Exodus, I always think it's kind of funny, because when you kind of step back and you think about the Hebrews, they had been enslaved, and Moses was to bring them out. So all that happened, you know, there's a whole lot of story there too, but when they come out, then they go to the wilderness and there's no food or water. And the people go, "Well, why did we even come out here? You know, we don't murmuring. There's nothing for us to eat. We don't have any water. I wish we were better off back," you know, all of that. And Moses went to God and said, "Okay, the people are unhappy because they don't have any food and they don't have any water." And I can just imagine. I've made a lot of this up in my mind. You know, I was like, "All right, tell them that I will give them manna every day, and where they tap their rod, there will be water, and then I'll have the birds of the air every morning so they have food." Then they were happy. Every time the people would continue to become unhappy about something. It's funny. Then, so that the first five books are the Pentateuch, and that's kind of the story of Israel. Then the next section that we looked at was the prophets. Now, that's probably one of the least read by me of all, you know, of all of it, and so I knew about that much, you know, about the prophets. We did study in the program in the ministerial school, but we were doing the whole Bible, and we just had to kind of move fast. So I learned more about the prophets and really what they were doing. They weren't, we used the book Reading the Bible Again for the First Time by Marcus Borg. Amazing book, if you're interested in, you know, kind of digging in deep. It's a great book. So there are two groups of prophets. I think he called them the former and the latter. And the former prophets were the ones who were warning the Hebrews that if they don't stop, this pattern again, if they don't stop doing what they're doing, then they're going to, some bad is going to happen. Something bad did happen. They were conquered by Babylonia in 587 BCE, I think. A couple students in here, anyway, a long time ago. And the temple was destroyed. It was a horrible event. So the former prophets were saying, you're going to have to, and then their, you know, what they were preaching was to, or telling the people, turn to God, turn away from all of the other stuff that you're thinking and doing, turn to God. And it didn't work, and so they fell. The latter prophets then, and the book encourages us to look at context, what's going on at the time. So the latter prophets were, though they were trying to give hope and inspiration to the remaining Hebrews, they had been scattered among other nations around. So when Babylonia was conquered by Assyria, Assyria said, people can go back to their home country if they want to. So the latter prophets were trying to inspire the people to do that. This was not, let's get in the car and go drive there. This is, thousand or so miles away, and they had to do it by foot. This was long, they were in exile for long enough that several generations, a couple or three generations had happened. So some people didn't even know about Jerusalem. You know, it wasn't a reality for them. So these prophets were working really hard to inspire and to recall the people, give them that hope, that hope and inspiration that they could go back and they could rebuild the temple. And they believed that they were the chosen people, and by coming together and redoing the temple, they can be that once again. So that was what the latter prophets were trying to do. The context that I wasn't aware of was that along the way, some of the prophets who were criticizing the Hebrews were also criticizing the Hebrews because they were creating an elite and peasant society. Does that sound familiar at all today? And so you have what the prophets were saying to the people is you were suffering in bondage under the Egyptians, and now you have created bondage under the Hebrews. So all of that was happening. There's one of the prophets who, you know, that playing in the sandbox, one of the prophets named Micah has this passage I think is inspiring. It's in here, it's talking about in our time, the end of Christendom creates the possibility of hearing and reading the prophets again that are articulating the dream of God. And God's dream is a world of justice and peace. Now, in Micah 4, verses 3 and 4, the nations will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. But they shall all sit under their own vines and their own fig trees, and no one shall make them afraid. Isn't that lovely? Talk about peace. Now, we're talking wisdom through the ages, so if the Old Testament is written like between 1,000 and 2,000 years before Christ, before the Common Era, it's like, what, 3,000 to 4,000 years ago from now, moving it ahead to after, when it goes into Common Era, when Jesus was born. So New Testament is later by sometimes almost 1,000 years. So we've moved. New Testament has the same message, the same idea, wisdom. Paul in Philippians 4:88. I love this one. Finally, brothers, whatever things are true, whatever things are honorable, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, and if there is any praise, think about these things. Again, what we call the law of mind action. Think on these things. And then he goes on to say, do these things, and the God of peace will be with you. Do these things, and the God of peace will be with you. That was one. Georgiana Tree West said, let us talk about what you want to experience. Shift that thinking. And then Doug's, replace it with a focus on the highest good we seek in humanity. This is how. I told you about watching the opening ceremonies of the Olympics. They were spectacular. The other thing that impressed me, almost moved me to tears, literally, was when I thought about what was happening in this world that is so jarring and seemingly at odds with each other. People are at odds with each other. Nations are at odds with each other. It's just kind of mind blowing. The thing I noticed about the Olympics is every country that was included in this, that was sending athletes, they all sent their athletes. There was one vision that they were all doing, and it didn't matter if the nations got along with each other or not. It was a different vision, a higher vision, I guess. So they prepared these athletes. They put time and resources and energy into allowing these people to be the amazing athletes that they are, and then send them this time to Paris. Oh, poor them. Send them to Paris for this. And when you see the athletes themselves, after an event, they're all just buddies. They congratulate each other. It very much moved me. That's peace. We can do that by controlling our thoughts, shifting our thoughts. I'll bring that quote back around again. The Facebook post. Peace is not when everyone agrees. It is when we can respect our disagreements and still play in the sandbox together. Well, let's take a few moments to think about the words that our way shower, Jesus, gave us. And we'll move into meditation using these words. So will you join me in repeating the Lord's Prayer?
Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory,
Oh, and now if you are comfortable doing so, close your outer eyes. Bring your attention inward so that you become aware of the temperature in the room, air currents, your own body. Where are the discomforts, if there are any? You might even do a mental scan starting at the top of your head and just sort of mentally look, experience from your head down. Is there any tightness or tension I'm holding on to? Oh, let your shoulders lower. Let your jaw unclench. Let your arms and legs relax. The seat will hold you. And if there are any emotional weights that are weighing on you, I invite you to mentally put those down beside you for the time being. You can pick them back up later if you want. But now, for this moment, just be present in this time, in this place. We are safe. This is a room full of love. This is a time, the present moment. And here and now, we are one. As we do this, we open our minds and our hearts. And we let ourselves, our mind especially, have sort of a listening attitude. A noticing, curious, listening attitude. In doing this, we are aligned with that divine that is within each of us. We are at one with our highest good. Let us take just a few moments in silence to experience this alignment, this oneness, this peace, this love, and allow ourselves to just be present in the silence. Being in this state, in this consciousness, is often a good time to affirm those qualities, those, if they're powers, 12 powers, whatever it is that you want to activate even more, to call on those, to be present to that coming out and expressing through us and as us. This time of alignment and connection is so much. It is rejuvenating, it is nourishing, and it follows then that the more often we can do this, the better able we are to walk through the storms of life peacefully and lovingly. We can be that peace in the world, that peace that will let us walk in another's shoes, that peace that doesn't make anybody right or wrong, it's just we are one. And love. It is all about love. We are grateful. We're grateful for this time together. We're grateful for the awareness, the knowledge, the recognition of exactly what we are. We are beloved creation of the Most High. We are here to be expressions of that highest self, the expression of the Christ, Christ within. As we do so, we create lives that are full of peace and love and laughter and joy. And when other things bubble up, as they do, we shift our thinking back to this truth, this reality that we have experienced. And we breathe again, peacefully and with love. And so with deep gratitude and with much love, we say thank you. Thank you. Thank you, God. And so it is. Amen.